What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the quarterback carousel spinning now out of control. Could two superstars be swapped for each other? We're on it. Plus, it's a done deal for Deshaun in Houston. The question is, who has the best chance to do the deal? And we have a special guest with us. He makes quarterbacks nervous. Today, he's bringing the heat on every team in the league. Cam Jordan gets up with us live, starting right now. On a Tuesday from the Seaport, Greeny here. Delighted you are there. Great basketball conversation to be had. Jalen and Jay will both be with us. But take a look at the squad we've put together. The big swagoo is fired up. Dan Graziano's got the insight. And as promised, Cam Jordan, live and in the flesh this morning. Looking forward to getting after all of the quarterback news that we have, because that is his forte. Let's go. We start today with Russell Wilson and his uncertain future in Seattle. Look at him in the cowboy hat. Recently, Cowboys legend Michael Irvin suggested Russ wants to be traded to Dallas, which led Dan Orlovsky to say this yesterday here on Get Up.
Listen, if anybody thinks that the Cowboys aren't or shouldn't be thinking about this, respectfully, you're out of your mind. You know, this is a better player that is going to be cheaper for them. Yeah, it's going to cost you a lot, but if the Cowboys really, really, really wanted Dak Prescott, he would already be under contract.
So take a look at these numbers. For whatever they are worth, since Dak Prescott came into the league in 2016, the total QBR, Dak's is better than Russell Wilson's. And remember, that is the statistic that measures all of the different ways that a quarterback goes about helping his team win games. Those are numbers. Let's get to the story. Graziano, I'm starting with you. What is the latest as far as Dak and Dallas and getting some kind of deal done between now and a week from today?
Yeah, they're still talking, Greeny. Look, Dallas's focus is on Dak Prescott being their quarterback, trying to get him signed. This is the third offseason in a row we've been talking about this, and they're well aware of that. But what I was told last night, checking with sources on this, is they still want him, he still wants to be there, and there's work being done on a deal, and hopefully that gets consummated. If it does not get done by next Tuesday, which is the deadline for teams to franchise players, the Cowboys will certainly franchise him again, which would give them until July 15th to do a long-term deal. So that's where it stands. No major change at this point. They still intend and hope to get him signed. He hasn't expressed a desire to not be there. They haven't looked into Russell Wilson or any other quarterback options, and the Cowboys are still proceeding as if Dak Prescott will be their quarterback.
Okay, they've been doing that for a very long time. Let me bring the former Cowboy into the conversation. Marcus Spears, it's a pretty direct question. Should the Cowboys be looking into trading for Russell Wilson?
Absolutely. Absolutely, G. Listen, and this is not about an indictment on Dak Prescott. Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott right now. I think Dak can reach the levels we've seen Russ play at. But the answer to the question is because of what has transpired, what Graz has talked about, the time that this contract has taken in order to get to the point where Dak is signed. So, yeah, they should be in the market. They don't know if Dak, I mean, Jerry alluded to the fact that Dak has all the leverage. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks now. They don't know what Dak's going to do. They don't know if the offer that they're going, their best offer, whatever they can put forward that's considered their best from Dallas' perspective, they don't know if Dak is going to take that contract or take that deal. So, yeah, you should be in the market. And look, every team that either has quarterback questions or not solidified at their quarterback spot should be in the running to trade for Russell Wilson. That's how good he is. But, yes, Dallas should be thinking about it. They should be thinking about a lot of options because their current quarterback, i.e. Dak Prescott, has the ability to do whatever he wants to do in this negotiating process. So, yeah, they got to cover their backs like they did last year with Andy Dalton.
And in the event of a trade, Russell Wilson is actually much less expensive than Dak Prescott would be. Factor that in however you will. All right, Cam Jordan, it has been your job to chase after both of these men with not so pleasant intentions as you do so. How do you see it, this question of Russell Wilson versus Dak Prescott? How do you see it, Cam?
I mean, I'm always here for the idea of loyalty. Dak's been there since the beginning, got, you know, drafted in the fourth round. You would love to see, you know, Dallas pay Dak. And I understand, you know, why everybody goes after a guy like Russell Wilson. He's a Super Bowl champion, has been to Super Bowl twice, and ideally can, you know, make your team better with or without a powerful offensive line. That being said, you know, if Cowboys feel like they're in a position to trade for Dak or for Russell, that's what you should be doing. In my mind, he's also going to the Saints, so I'm a little biased. So maybe Dak stays where he's at, and, you know, we make a run out of him.
Let me circle back to that in a second, because the Saints are one of the teams that his agent did say he would be interested in playing for if he were to change places. But you just mentioned something about you'd like to see Dak get paid. This is a topic of conversation on this show and sports talk shows. It feels like every single day around the league. What is the perception of Dak and the fact that the Cowboys, through all of this process, have still not managed to figure out a way to get a long-term deal done with him?
I mean, if you're talking to me, we're talking about exactly being franchised last year. I mean, Kirk Cousins was franchised twice before he found a major payday. It's a quarterback. So if we're talking about the rate that he's going, I mean, not to count his pocket money, but being franchised last year, you know, you figure if he's asking for 40 and he got 31 and change last year, if they franchise him again, he's going to be somewhere around that 34, 35, 36 mark. You're still a little bit cheaper than that 40 tag that was previously asked. So if we're talking about just numbers here, you're coming off cheaper with the franchise tag until you do decide to come into an agreement and make things happen. And if it doesn't, then, you know, he'll be $35 million richer, $36 million richer, whatever that quarterback franchise tag is worth.
One way or another, he wins, right? Dan, it's even more than that. It's almost $38 million. And one way or another, he wins financially. So we'll see. But let's then go back, Cam, to what you just said a moment ago. Your team, the New Orleans Saints, is another of the teams that his agent, again, this is Russell Wilson's agent, on the record to Adam Schefter. This is not something that's being leaked. This is an agent directly on the record saying the Saints are a place he'd be interested to go. How does that sound to you, Cam Jordan, Russell Wilson in New Orleans?
It depends at what cost, but you think about what Russ brings to the game, and I can very much envision, you know, again, if Drew decides to retire, then we look at Russ Wilson in that black and gold, that beautiful black and gold with Mike T, a healthy Mike T, Alvin Kamara. You're talking about, you know, with the receiving core that we have now, add in Emmanuel Sanders, Trayvon. I mean, I can see a lot happening with it. But that being said, it's all rumors, it's all hearsay until it does happen. But I can dream.
What was the O Lord for there, Marcus Spears?
Because that offense is one Cam Jordan don't want to play against. If Russell Wilson was playing with the Saints offense and all of them weapons, man. Because look, we see it transpire, right? We know what Russ is when you talk about off script plays. But Alvin Kamara is there. Like, just throw it 2 yards and it could go 90. Are you talking about Michael Thomas? Are you talking about Jared Cook or Emmanuel Sanders? With Russell Wilson's ability and how Sean Payton runs an offense, that would be scary. It would catapult them, in my opinion, to the best team in the NFC coming into the season, because Russell Wilson is like that. Like, I think people, like, to Cam's point, I think people need to realize who we talking about. Like, I know we coming off the conversation with Russ for Dak, and I think Dak can reach the levels that Russ has. But right now, Russell Wilson being on the market is like Deshaun Watson being on the market. Your team gets that much better because that quarterback may decide to sign with your squad based on what we've seen him do year after year. And we heard Russ talk about it, which I didn't like very much, but he was telling the truth. We heard him talk about his protection. He's dealt with not having a formidable offensive line at all times. Put him over there with Terron Armstead and all of those big boys up there in New Orleans who had to protect the quarterback that wasn't mobile. And now you put Russell Wilson in that offense? Shoot, man. Listen, Cam will be glad he owned that defense during camp and not during the regular season. I guarantee you that.
Graziano, quickly, let me wrap it up with you. The people you talk to around the league, is the expectation that one place or another, Russell is going to get traded this offseason?
No, I don't think anyone's ruled it out, but I know Seattle is not proceeding as though they're going to trade Russell Wilson. They're making their plan to build around him. That's where they are at this point. Again, can't rule it out. It would have to be a situation where Wilson made it essential, right? Like Deshaun Watson demanding a trade or Carson Wentz letting it be known he didn't want to be there anymore. That's not where Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are right now.
So we will see if that winds up happening again. It is the number one thing we're keeping a close eye on into the future. As far as the past is concerned, yesterday, a move that could put more pressure on Russell Wilson, literally and figuratively. J.J. Watt is headed to his division, going to Arizona. According to Schefty, it's a two-year deal with the Cardinals. $31 million, $23 million guaranteed. Watt and his wife flew to Arizona on the owner's plane yesterday.
I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. The one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud, and I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea, so let's get started.
All right, so he's there. Our buddy Torrey Smith tweeted, with Chandler, meaning Chandler Jones, and J.J., Russ is really going to ask for a trade if they don't bolster up that offensive line. If you actually think about the defenses in that division now, the Rams, obviously, with all those guys on that front line there, particularly Aaron Donald, you've got now this San Francisco, if they get healthy with all those guys, Nick Bosa and crew coming back, and now this 1-2 punch in Arizona. That's where you are, Cam Jordan. You're in Arizona. What was your reaction yesterday, and what are you hearing about J.J. Watt choosing the Cardinals?
Look, this was fun for me. I sort of sit back, you know, with free agency pending for a lot of players. I sit back and just eat my popcorn and watch what happens, because it's fun to see, you know, not only fans but analysts have every idea of where he could go. And then, of course, he comes up with the source me being a part of the Red Sea. And of course, you know, he'd been linked to Pittsburgh. He'd been linked to the Browns. He'd been linked to, you know, every other team. And then all of a sudden he comes up with the Cardinals. It's like everybody had their own idea until they realized, you know, this is back when, you know, J.J. Watt was in one of the greatest draft class ever in 2011. Every offense to everybody else, because I just am biased like that. But, you know, that's where we trained at. We trained out at what is now Exos out in Cave Creek, Arizona, and it looks like he's coming back to his training ground, draft class 2011 roots.
So, Graziano, we had put him in a lot of other places based on the chances of winning in Green Bay, based on playing with his brothers in Pittsburgh. In the end, and there's nothing wrong with this, he went to the place that could afford to pay him the most money. That feels like the way this thing played out, Dan.
It does. To Cam's point, it was a tough day, you know, for those of us who report on the league, because everybody was wrong about where J.J. might go. But sometimes you miss. It's okay. I thought he'd end up in Green Bay personally, but they didn't have the cap space. Arizona obviously did, and they made a big play for him. This is big money. Remember, this guy was supposed to make $17.5 this year from Houston, non-guaranteed. Now this contract for Adam Schefter is going to pay him $23 million guaranteed over the next couple of years. So that's a big win for him. Arizona's got some other free agents on defense that they have to try and bring back, you know, Patrick Peterson, Hassan Reddick, guys like that. But they thought they could bring in J.J. Watt, put him in the interior, kind of unlock the pass rush even more. Chandler Jones, as great as he's been with a strong interior pass rush, can only be even better. Another thing I'm sure Cam can speak to as well. But Arizona thought this was a play worth making in a tough division, and they think it sets him up.
Tough, I think, is an understatement. Marcus, I think it's the best division in football right now if you look at it from top to bottom. And many of us look at it and say, you know, he chose a team that could wind up being third or fourth in that division. Or could they stun the world? More surprising things have happened, Marcus Spears, than Kyler Murray turning it on in year three and that team shocking the world. Give me a first guess. With J.J. Watt in Arizona, how good are they going to be?
They're going to be very good, G. Not only because of his skill set. Look, he has familiarity, too, with Vance Joseph, which I think played into this and how they want to rush the passer. Vance is real electric with his blitz packages. But with J.J., you don't have to send extra guys. Makes you a better defense when you can commit guys on the back end defensively in that division with now Stafford and Russell Wilson and Jimmy G potentially coming back for San Francisco. So he's a big upgrade. If Kyler can get back to form when he was from when he was injured to playing at that MVP level early in the season like he was, that makes them formidable in their division, let alone talking about a playoff berth.
So that's the story in Arizona. Our next stop this morning is in New Orleans, where Drew Brees is 42 years old, and everyone's expectation is that he's going to announce his retirement, and then he posts this video of himself working out like crazy. with the, you see it here, pushing the tackling sled all over the place and all the rest of that. And I will repeat what I said yesterday. Like, if the truth is he's going to come into broadcasting, and that means that we're all of us in broadcasting going to have to start working out like that, I have a major problem with this. I'm not okay with it at all. But Cam Jordan, again, I think from the outside, all of us have expected or are expecting that Drew Brees has played his last game as a teammate. What, when you watch that video, what is your expectation?
Nothing. As a teammate, when I see this video, he's working out. That doesn't tell me whether he's in quarterback shape, football shape, or any type of shape. I mean, doesn't Brett Favre still work out? Doesn't Donovan McNabb still work out? If Donovan McNabb gets under the bench press right now and, you know, puts up 225 for 15, will we say, oh, the cannon's back, he's ready to release one? I mean, we all have a speculation. Until Drew decides to make it a decision, I'm going to take that with Drew just being Drew. I don't think Drew hasn't worked out every day since, you know, the last time he took a break was probably before he was a Boilermaker. You know, he's going to work out every day. That's the type of guy Drew is. He's going to work out. He's going to keep his body right. He's going to keep his mindset right. And when he decides to make his decision, that's when I'll react. When, you know, I see every speculation going, I've had to go 10 years of, you know, speculation. Oh, is he getting too old? You know, because when I came to the league, he was 32. He had just come up, you know, he just won a Super Bowl a couple years before, and they were sitting at 32. Hey, he's a little older now, sitting at 42 or about to be 43. You know, the world has their own decisions to make. But until Drew says something, I'm just going to sit here and let the analysts analyze. You guys do what you guys do best, and I'm going to sit here with my bag of popcorn. Until Drew says, let's go, or no, I'll be here.
I'm good with that. And again, if he wants to work out, that's all good. Now, can someone get the man an elliptical? I mean, you know, sort of got to run on a treadmill? Do we need to be pushing tackling sleds all over the place? Marcus, how about it? I mean, is that just normal working out for a 42-year-old? I was a 42-year-old man once. I never did that. What do you think?
Gee, it's not normal working out, but you remember, I've worked out with you, and I know you'd be dead. I'd have to call the paramedics for you if you did a workout like we just watched what Drew Brees did. The bottom line is this, though. Like, I know, look, Cam is Drew's guy, and they've been on the team together. Drew out of them. I can say it. Cam said, let the analysts analyze. Well, damn it, I'm going to analyze. Drew about to chunk the deuces. Drew is getting ready to get that body right to put them suits on in the booth next year and talk about Cam balling out against somebody else. That's what he's working out for. Plus, he just wants to look good. He's trying to continue his trend of staying in football shape without it. Obviously, I didn't. I didn't care about pushing the sled when I got done. I didn't want to look like I played football anymore. I wanted to look like I was on TV. So ESPN decided to give me a check. I decided to come on this television and try to look as good as I possibly could in the suits. That don't involve pushing the sled, so I see how everybody could get excited. But like Cam said, Drew is one of those guys. He gonna work out just to work out, just to be in shape. Where I'm from, you don't do that. You eat just to eat so you can enjoy eating. You don't work out to enjoy working out. Bottom line is this. Drew Brees is about to go to the booth. Cam Jordan got to say what he's saying because that's his teammate. He want to be respectful to Drew. But Drew is pushing the sled so he can look good in them $2,000 suits he about to be wearing in that booth when he's talking about football next year.
All right, fair enough. Graziano, I'm going to ask you to help me judge this last part of our moment here, and that is we're going to do a little Who Did It Better video, okay, because we've got two D linemen on our program today, both of whom made legendary pick sixes. The first is Marcus Spears versus Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. Here we go. There's the big swaggoo with the pick six in the national championship game. So there's that touchdown there.
Wheels, man.
Here he is picking it off in the national championship game.
Get to the sideline.
Let's show Cam's. We got a pick six for Cam just this past year against the Lions in the end zone.
Let's go.
Oh, tipped and
let's
he
go.
Catches it.
Dan Graziano. That's better.
Who did it better?
Fantastic. So efficient,
who
right?
Cam didn't have to run anywhere.
Like that's where to get it, right? Yeah, you get it right. You're already in the end zone. The work is done.
In the end
Marcus
zone.
Marcus out there running half the length of the field to score. So I think Cam points for efficiency, but, you know, Swagoo gets the points for the effort that went into actually turning it into a touchdown.
What do you think, Cam? Do you have to give it up to Look, Marcus do it better on the pick six?
I'm going to say yeah, because it cost me like $5,000 because I dunked right after I scored. You know, he got his for the free. He worked for his and then, you know, got to celebrate. Mine, I got a little too zealous and I went ahead and dunked one over the crossbars. And I got a nice little fine letter in the mail.
Yeah, and Marcus, you told me once, because you were getting ready to get drafted, what exactly the thoughts that were going through your mind as you were running into the end zone?
I'm finna get some money. I'm about to get some money. Just get in this end zone. I'm finna get paid. The draft is coming, baby. That's what I was thinking. But I got to give it to Cam, man. Cam got he got a batted pass. He got a catch, an interception, and a touchdown. That's three plays. That's why he's making all that money.
They both did it well. All right, we're just getting started with this crew. Coming up, the duel between Deshaun and the Texans. Who will blink first and why the impact could be felt for an awful long time? Plus, it seems like a 17-game season will be a reality. What will it look like? How does Cam feel about an extra game? We'll talk about that and more. Just getting rolling. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and Cam Jordan, take us through the moves that you were. Come on, show us the dance moves. Take us through some of these moves.
You gotta get that bounce. Look, everybody know that bounce. And then he had the stanky leg at the time. I've been in the league a long time. So you gotta hit that juju on the beat. So you gotta hit that yeah. You know what I'm saying? You gotta start it off. Start off your day right. When you're talking to them kids, kids' energy is infectious. You can't do anything but mash that. So you gotta show the footwork. That's why we do those ladder drills. We have footwork for a reason.
All right, Marcus Spears may have done the pick better, but you may have done the dance better. Coming up, it's a done deal for Deshaun in Houston. The question is, who has the chance to make the deal? And we got sneaky Hembo working for Cam Jordan today, too. Here we go. Cam Jordan has started 145 consecutive games. That is the second longest active streak in the NFL. Which player ranks first? Who's the only one with more? The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, here we go. Back on Get Up. And Cam Jordan, we invite you. You're nice enough to get up early in the morning and come on the show. And immediately we put you on the spot like this. From Sneaky Hembo, you have the second longest Ironman streak in the sport right now at 145 consecutive games. Who's the only player with a longer streak right now?
I don't even know how to answer that. I know most consecutive plays is probably Malcolm Jenkins. Clay's Campbell been in the league a couple years longer than I have. You never see him get hurt. I'm going to go Calais Campbell.
It's not a bad guess, and Malcolm Jenkins wasn't either, but the answer is Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh has started 147 consecutive games. Cam Jordan, 145. Russell Wilson, 144. Hembo, proud of himself. See, the man is nice enough to get up early with us in Arizona. It's at some ungodly hour, and immediately you're trying to make him look bad. Okay, let's get back to the quarterback news of the day. The showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans continues, with both sides dug in about his future. Late last week, we learned from Dan Graziano that Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley and told him he has no intention of suiting up for the team ever again. And so it does feel like this is one of these we got to take the temperature of every single day. Graziano, where do we stand right now as far as the stalemate, the standoff between Deshaun Watson and his team?
Still a stalemate, Greeny. Nothing really new. I wish there was. I ask people, look, Greeny's going to be disappointed in me. I got to give him something new. That's why I was so excited about the Culley note last week. But right now, the Houston Texans are still telling teams they don't want to trade him, and Watson is still telling the Texans and anybody who will listen who's close to him that he's not going to play for them anymore. So when does something change? Does Houston decide they have to do this before the draft so they can get picks this year to help replenish? Remember, they don't have a first or second round pick. Or do they wait until after June 1st when it might not cost as much to trade him in terms of the salary cap? Do they call his bluff and see if he's willing to sit out games in September? There's a lot of different ways this could go, but right now all we're hearing is Houston says they're not going to trade him. He says he doesn't want to be there.
It's a fascinating story, and Cam Jordan, for those of us on the outside who cover the sport, this has consumed so much of our time. As a current player in the league, I just wonder, what is your perspective on this, and what do you hear from other players about this situation?
I mean, the last couple of years have been sort of tough for, you know, the Texans. You talk about, you let D-Hop go to the Cardinals for a bag of potato chips and not even a soda on the way out. You talk about one of the best players in the league, and you just let him go. So for Deshaun Watson to ask for a trade and not be given it, it's a little confusing. It's slowly becoming. I mean, you see J.J. Watt go to the Cardinals. You're slowly seeing the Texans become one of these teams that guys may not be really wanting to go to in free agency. You know, this is slowly becoming teams where you can see, you know, the organization have some problems up top, and guys are trying to get out. You had, you know, Kenny Stills last year asked for his release. You've got a lot of different other players just talking about, you know, trying to get somewhere else, and now it's starting to show. D-Hop looks like he's happy in Arizona. But, I mean, this is just something that is slowly turning, and you've got to turn this page. I mean, I get they got a new GM. They're going to have a new head coach. This is something that, you know, hopefully they can turn around quick, because if not, it can get to be a desolate place, and that's, you know, when the players deem it a place that they don't want to go to, it's not going to look good in the future.
Fascinating. So let me just be clear what we're talking about. You think that they need to get this situation resolved one way or the other, get it out of the zeitgeist, if you will, get it out of everybody's topic of conversation so they can move forward and so players around the league will stop thinking about it.
Absolutely. I mean, come on. D. Watt is one of these guys that can change your franchise, and he's a face of your franchise currently. Make it right. In my mind, I'm always going to think that loyalty runs both ways, but we know it's a business at the end of the day.
What do you think of this, Marcus? Again, you were a player and not so long ago. You understand those dynamics. How do you think this is impacting the way players across the National Football League view the Texans organization?
Gee, I think Cam just made a hell of a point. And it brought to my thought, like, these are in-house players. These are guys that were drafted by the Texans. So it looks even worse to guys that you're trying to go out and pursue. Look, trading Deshaun Watson is the best avenue for the Houston Texans. Not only can you get a young quarterback potentially within that trade, you can also start to kind of recreate your perception across the league, or recreate your identity. And that's what the Houston Texans need to do. They have their in-house guys leaving. These aren't guys that came in free agency and then realized or experienced that it was bad. These are guys that were drafted that have had a lot of success in that franchise. The faces of the franchise and the organization. Like, it's a big indictment that J.J. Watt is out of Houston and did not want to deal with them as far as staying there and trying to be a part of what they're trying to do. That was a huge deal. I know we passed it off. All it was a lot of money on the books, and they were going to release him anyway. That ain't how the faces of franchises get let go. That is not how it operates. I guarantee you this. The Saints and Cam Jordan going to have a conversation about a good departure. How will this be better for both of us? How would this look? J.J. Watt was like, I want to get out of here. I want to bounce. That's bad. It's an indictment that the face of your franchise, the quarterback, wants out. It's an indictment that the former face of your franchise is telling the face of the franchise, meaning Andre Johnson telling Deshaun Watson, stand your ground. Like, this is – the Houston Texans are in a bad spot from a football perspective when they talk about Deshaun Watson leaving. But I thought Cam just made a hell of a point. When guys start looking at that place and say, this is what they do to the guys that they drafted, and this is what they doing to the guys that's been the faces of the Houston Texans franchise, it is going to become a desolate place if they don't get a handle on it quick and get Deshaun Watson traded in the best interest of Deshaun Watson.
It's a really important point. If you look, they haven't been in existence that long, but the four players who define that franchise, who come to mind immediately, are Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, and J.J. Watt. You do the math. Okay, so that's where they stand right now in Houston. Now, what is new for next season in the NFL? Well, how about this? We are looking at the very likely possibility of 17 instead of 16 regular season games. That, of course, became possible last March when the players ratified a new collective bargaining agreement deal with the owners. And we went through all of that last March, but that's a very long time ago, Dan, and so much has happened since then. In a nutshell, take everybody through how we get from where we are right now to 17 games this coming season.
Yeah, it's all ready to go, Greeny. I mean, it would be shocking if they didn't play 17 regular season games this year at this point. Everything's spelled out in the CBA in terms of how the schedules or how the pay schedule is adjusted for players. It says that if the owners get one new media rights deal done, they are able to trigger the 17-game season as early as 2021. The owners voted in December on how the schedule would work, like how the extra game would play out. You'd play a team from the other conference that finished in the same spot in the standings that you did, and then they'd alternate year to year. The AFC would have the home games one year, NFC the other. So it's ready to go. As soon as those TV deals are done, I think it would be very, very surprising if the owners didn't use their option to trigger the 17-game season and make it start in 2021.
So let's call this sneaky big news, candidly. This is, it's enormous. The entire sport is going through an enormous change this coming year, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of conversation about it. Cam Jordan, you're an active player. How do you feel about a 17th regular season game?
Does it matter how I feel? I mean, once it was put in the actual, you know, legal jargon of a CBA, that is what it is. I mean, you could ask me 2 years ago how I feel about it. At this point, you know, we know it's inevitable. So if it happens 2021, we'll get ready for 2021. We knew it was going to happen sometime, you know, in the next couple of years. So this year, fine. This is something that we have to deal with. You know, Marcus will tell you, anybody will tell you in the league, it takes a lot to get the body right. And if you want to go 17 games, you know, you have to make it worth it. It seems like they figured that out in CBA, so now we just have to deal with it. They've already added, you know, one extra game or however it works in the playoffs. This is just something that we have to deal with as players. And going forward, it gives you a little bit more opportunity maybe to increase those stat lines. Give that extra push for a playoff push. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care how many games it takes us. As long as we have a great position for a run at the Super Bowl, as long as you end up in the playoffs, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many implications of this, including that one, the way that statistics will now be skewed forever. Changing the number of games in a season in sports does not happen particularly often. So it's a bigger deal than I think people are making of it. Marcus Spears, what do you think?
Well, G, you know I hate it. I mean, look, I think about Cam and those players, and I think about an extra game, an extra 60 or 70 plays after week 16. And obviously, we all think, like, when we playing in that league, 17 games, we'll play them like they on the schedule, but we don't like them. We've been opposed to them for years. This is not new. This is not something recent that the league has been talking about as far as extending the season. But to Cam's point, like, if it's going to happen, all the players in the NFL, PSA, you better start figuring out how to get them 60, 70 extra plays on the body so you can feel good after that to make a playoff run if you can get in.
All right, well, Cam Jordan again. The only thing I'll say is, if you ask the question, does it matter what you think? On this show, yes, it does. We care what you think.
Yes.
We may be the only ones, but we do. Coming up, Cam's teammate Alvin Kamara is living his best life in Montana. Literally, wait until you see how he is spending his offseason. We will show you. Plus, we'll show you what Zion is doing right now that is terrifying for the rest of the NBA. Is he the best young star in the sport? That and more as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and Jay Williams has made his way across the hall to take a look at the game of the night last night, a good one between the Jazz and the Pelicans, and this one was all about Zion. Look at him going right at Rudy Gobert.
Just constantly challenging Rudy Gobert. He gets his shot blocked more than any other player in the league, but it doesn't matter because he's going to finish at the rim.
He had 15 points in the third quarter, Zion did. Look at him continuing here and just taking it strong.
Once again, he loves a turnover that right shoulder. That's his patented move.
26-10 last night for Zion, who was really emerging here in his second season. But let's take you to where this game is decided. 30 seconds to go. Jazz are down by one. And here's the big sequence, Jay Will, off the miss from Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell misses. Rudy Gobert can't. I don't know if I call that an over-the-back call. Rudy Gobert is that just much taller, but it sends Zion Williamson to the free throw line.
Take another look at it here. That's Gobert. He does get called for over-the-back. Zion would make two. So the Pelicans have a three-point lead, and here's the final shot. Not a great look that the Utah Jazz get off. Zion gets the rebound. Josh Hart gets an uncontested dunk, and that is all she wrote. The Pelicans get the win 129-124. And again, Zion finishing with 26 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, joining Anthony Davis as the only players in New Orleans history with a game with those numbers before turning 21 years old. They will play again tomorrow night against Chicago. And before we get into what I really wanted to talk with you about today, and first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Zach Lowe is here as well. Give us the patented wave, Zach Lowe. There we go. I want to just quickly, we talked so much about Zion Williamson last year when he wasn't playing. Now here he is playing every single night and playing brilliantly, and I feel we talk about him less. Catch us up on what we're missing from Zion.
I mean, look, he is having a phenomenal year. He's shooting 60% from the field. He's averaging 25 points per game. He's an all-star. But he's also playing consistently, Greeny. He only played 24 games last year in a truncated season. So we're finally seeing Zion healthy, which is why, you know, look, everybody's everywhere. But still, his game speaks for itself. He's point Zion this year, as Zach will tell you.
Yeah, so Zach, that's an interesting thought. You brought it up briefly yesterday that right now Zion Williamson may be working his way towards playing what I guess could be described as a new era point guard position, and that could really be something. How do you see it?
Yeah, about a month ago, there's a clear dividing line. Stan Van Gundy decided we're giving him the ball. We're going to give him the ball in transition. We're going to let him ISO up top like some linebacker version of Giannis, and we're going to set screens for him. He's going to be a pick and roll ball handler. And by the way, we're going to set screens with him with our centers. We're going to use our guards. What are you going to do when J.J. Redick sets a screen for Zion Williamson? You can't leave J.J. Redick. Lonzo Ball, he's going to flare out for threes. All of a sudden, defenses are confused, and this human bowling ball is coming at you. And by the way, you see the way he came at Rudy Gobert last night? He's not scared of anyone. He'll just jump right into people's bodies. 7 foot, doesn't matter. They're falling down. He's still going up and laying the ball in. He's a really good passer. Defenses haven't found a comfortable answer for point Zion yet, and it may be a long time before they do, if they ever do.
Point Zion is becoming a thing. Quickly, let me just throw something at you, Jay Will, because I did this list yesterday, and I seriously considered putting Zion at number one, but here was my list that I did on the radio show yesterday of the top five players I would start a team with right now. And as you see, taking age into account and everything else, wow. I have Giannis at 5, Jokic at 4, Jason Tatum at 3, Zion at 2, and Luka Doncic at number 1. He turned 22 years old on Sunday. Jay Will, what is your reaction to the list?
I like Zion number 2. I just need to see him once again. I have trust issues, Greeny. I just want to see him be healthy for a full season before I can definitely say he's the second best player under 25. I still have Giannis like in that 2-3 range just because of back-to-back MVP.
But is he a guy that can carry your team to winning a championship? He's the one guy who has the most experience of everyone on this list in the playoffs and has, to some degree, not come up with the moments and the plays and maybe the game that is necessary to be the best player on a championship team.
If you surround him with the right talent, here's what I will say about Zion right now. And I'm not saying he is these two players with him and Lonzo Ball, because I know where people will go, but they are an unorthodox Gen Z version of Karl Malone and John Stockton. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Lonzo Ball and Zion Williamson with the way they're utilized in screen and rolls. Like, when Lonzo Ball, and Zach alluded to it, when he sets a screen, he's shooting 47% behind the three-point line in the month of February, and he's a gifted passer. So Zion passer, bully ball to the rim. It's really hard to guard with the spacing that they have on the squad.
Zach Lowe, you saw the list. What's your reaction?
I think it's a pretty good list. It seems a little exuberant on Tatum right now, but considering his age and the fact that he's still recovering from the coronavirus, he's one mini leap in playmaking from justifying that number 3 spot. Luka, as we've talked about, is the right choice at number 1. And Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, is going to be very happy to see Nikola Jokic finally appearing on one of these lists that people in the media do. And he's right. The guy just turned 26 years old. He's about the same age as Giannis. He's a human triple-double. Defenses have no answer for him. So I like that we're giving him a little love. Giannis at 5 and no Joel Embiid. Perk is going to side-eye you for the lack of a Joel Embiid appearance the next time he's on the show.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not having Joel Embiid hurts, but I just can't have Giannis at 5. I can't have the back-to-back MVP of the regular season as the 5th best player under 25.
And that's not the question. The question is, who would you start a team with? And if your goal is to win a championship, and I told you right now, you could either have Jason Tatum or Giannis Antetokounmpo. You could just start a team with one of those two guys. Which one are you taking?
I'm still taking Giannis.
You are. And how about you, Zach Lowe?
Still taking Giannis, but it's very, very close because of the 4-year age gap, and I know that Tatum is a great shooter from all over the floor. Giannis has still got to prove, hey, what's my go-to move in the playoffs when you wall up on me with 4 defenders?
Let me give Giannis Bradley Beal, and then let's start talking about how Giannis could be looked at differently.
Yes, okay? You can give a lot of people
I understand,
Bradley
but it's who
Beal.
You surround the player Fair. Around, though, with, Greeny. That goes a long way.
I understand that, but, I mean, Luka Doncic is making everybody on his team a trillion times better, and that is what it's about.
That's why I agree with you on Luka Doncic. I think Luka Doncic is a similar style to LeBron James, but all the other players, you have to surround them with another piece. Luka is a turnkey offensive system in his place.
I miss these arguments again. Jay Will has them every single day. He's the Jay of KJZ, coast to coast, every morning on ESPN Radio. Zach Lowe, thank you for jumping in. We'll do much more of this as we continue. Meanwhile, we got a great doubleheader of NBA hoops tomorrow night here on ESPN. You're going to get Harden returning to Houston as the Nets visit the Rockets at 7:30 Eastern. Then Steph and the Warriors taking on Dame and the Blazers. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Meanwhile, you need to see this. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, brought to you by Whole Foods Market, Cam Jordan is with us this morning from the Saints. And Cam, I want you to see what your teammate Alvin Kamara is up to in Montana right now. Oh, that's him snowboarding. And that's not a great moment there. What is your reaction to this, Cam Jordan?
You know, he's probably never snowed before. That being said, that's not bad for a first time out. I remember my first time in the snow and I thought I could jump. I probably wiped out way harder than he did. You know, he's learning. So talk to me the next time he goes snowboarding. He's getting better. If that's his first time, that's a hell of a show out. If he does this weekly, it's not.
I'm not fighting with you on that. I am asking you, however, how you feel as his teammate. He's one of the most important players to any franchise in the NFL, and that's a bunch of tumbles he's taken out there on the snow. Are we comfortable with this activity, Cam Jordan?
Absolutely. Had it been skiing? No. Snowboarding? Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting distinction to be making. Is Marcus there? Marcus, what do you think of this? Are we comfortable with Alvin Kamara going down this kind of hard without having to take these blows in the football?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it, G, but that just brought something to my mind, and you know I always relate this to you. And now that Cam is on, I can relate it to him. These are rich people activities, so I'm sure there's protocols in place to take care of them. All right, this is like skiing, and you know, when I hear people say I'm going on the slopes, I don't know what the hell that means, but I know what it means because now I get a chance to hang around rich people. Alvin Kamara is rich now, so he's snowboarding, he's skiing, he'll be fine. I'm sure there's a guy right next to him in case something happened, make sure he doesn't fall too hard. Like that dude you travel with, G, or the dude you travel with, Cam. You know, you guys that have, you know, certain tax bracket guys, y'all always got to have guys around y'all to make sure y'all straight.
Graziano, your reaction.
I don't understand what Marcus Spears is talking about. Like, do rich people have softer trees on the ski slope than other? I don't get that. I mean, like, to me, I'm looking at Alvin Kamara. Time you look, he's at a NASCAR race. He's doing something. So he's winning the offseason so far.
Ross, and I
look forward to the continued travels of Alvin Kamara.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Garaz, you and I don't relate to what I was just talking about. That's why you don't understand.
I don't.
Marcus, you were first round from 2005.
I need to know how snowboarding is less dangerous.
Tell him, Cam. Hold on. I want to know that. Let me get Ben back in here. Cam Jordan, tell him.
With LSU, he got that old money. That's that old booster money that nobody talks about, but you know he has.
That's exactly right. And I will quickly say that I don't know if the Jets have any players as important as Alvin Kamara, but I don't want any of them snowboarding during the offseason. I will tell you that right now. All right, as we continue in just a moment, we will tell you exactly why the Seahawks may want to call up Jerry Jones and trade Russell Wilson for Dak Prescott right now. Could it happen? We'll talk about it. Let's get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.